Now, those of us who are baby boomers, and I see a lot here, if you remember, there was a show called To Tell the Truth. Y'all remember To Tell the Truth? Okay, I figured you would. You know, there were three or four people on a panel, and the people were introduced to a guest who introduced himself as three guests who introduced themselves with the name, the same name. I am John Smith. I am John Smith. I am John Smith. So you had three people who were John Smith, and the panel had to decide who the real John Smith was. And it was entertaining to see these folks use questions to dig out the truth from these people. Now, last year at the feast, I spoke on the power of the Ten Commandments in transforming the world tomorrow. And one of those transforming commandments was the ninth commandment: thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This ninth commandment is all about honesty and integrity. The word false in Hebrew here is sheker, which means untrue, fraud, deceit. Now, Merriam-Webster defines honesty as free from fraud or deceit, legitimate, truthful. And the word witness is from the Hebrew word aid, aid, I believe is pronounced, which means witness or testimony. This has a connotation of being related to witnessing in a court of law, and it's related to judgment. In order for a judge to determine a case, he must rely on the integrity and honesty of the witnesses. Now, Bullinger, the man who talked about all the numbers in the Bible, says this about the number nine. It denotes finality of judgment. Three times three, the product of divine completeness. The number nine, or its factors or multiples, is seen in all cases when judgment is the subject. So the title of this message is To Tell the Truth. In this message, we will focus on the ninth commandment in five areas. First, we'll look at the origin of the lie. Second, we'll look at how Satan's world is built upon lies and deceit. Third, we will look at some famous lies that were told in the Bible and their results. And fourth, we'll look at the importance of one's word. And finally, we'll kind of think about a world where no one can lie, where the truth has to be told. Now, let's look at the origin of the lie. Where did the lie begin? When was the first lie told? And speaking to those who believed on him, Christ said in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The lie was born of Satan, the deceiver. But let's go back to the beginning, the pivotal point where in history where the course of our world was changed for 6,000 years. And that's found in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows, in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, as Elohim, knowing good and evil. You see, Satan's deception began before the Garden of Eden. Satan's deception began when he deceived himself into thinking that he could exalt himself above his Creator. And that's shown in Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Well, unfortunately, there's only one Most High, so he can't be like the Most High, because there would be two Most Highs then. So he wanted to be at least equal or above God. If Lucifer had the truth within himself, he would have known that the creation can never be greater than the Creator. The problem was with lying, and if you lie long enough and hard enough, you'll begin to believe the lie. There was a video some time back of this psychologist who would meet with people, and through whatever means he did, he would convince people to believe something that was not true. And he convinced a poor young lady that her car was black, even though she knew she had a white car. And when she walked out of the building, her car was right in front of her, a white car, and she didn't recognize it because she was looking for a black car, because he had convinced her, he had deceived her into believing that she had a black car. You know, there are many YouTube videos where these so-called scam baiters, these are people who try to turn the table on computer scammers. Has anybody gotten the call from Microsoft saying, you know, we need to fix your computer? And, you know, you've got bad stuff on your computer, we're going to fix it for you. Well, don't. Just hang up the phone at that point. I like to have a little fun with them, though. I play along with them a little while. But these scam baiters will record this video and show you what these guys are trying to do to you. And the scammer will go in there, and he'll do a few things on your computer, and it looks real technical, and it looks like he knows what he's doing. And then he blends that with a little deception. And eventually the scam baiter will say, wait a minute, fella, I know what you're doing. You're a liar and you're a thief. And the scam baiter will get all bent out of shape. I am not a liar. I'm not a thief. He'll swear up and down he's legitimate. But yet you can see from the video, he was a liar. He was a deceiver. But he has convinced himself that he was a valid technician. He actually believed he was doing people good by stealing their money. Satan has mastered the art of deceit by craftily mixing falsehood with some truth. And the problem with deceit is that when it's presented in such a way, it can resemble truth. But there is one problem, and it's the problem with all sin, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 5:6. 1 Corinthians 5:6. And we all know this one all too well. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? If there's one lie mixed in with a whole bunch of truths, how can you trust anything? The whole premise will become untrusted until that one lie is corrected. Merriam-Webster defines deceit as the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. We see a lot of deceit today. Satan was able to convince Mother Eve that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was okay. It was really something she needed, and even though God said it would kill her. Through lust, Satan was able to convince her that God, who can't lie, had lied to her. And so the story goes down through the generations of Adam, lies and deception, and there's no one exempt, for we all have broken that ninth commandment in one way or the other. There's a story about a rabbi. Now, this rabbi was walking down the street, and he saw a group of boys, about a dozen boys or so, and they're all between the ages of 10 and 12. They had gathered themselves around a dog, and the rabbi was concerned because he thought that they were going to bother or hurt the dog. And he said, "What are you doing to that dog?" And one of the boys replied to him and said, "This dog is just an old neighborhood stray, and we all want him, but only one of us can take him, so we decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie can keep the dog." And of course, the rabbi was a little upset about that. He says, boys, you shouldn't be having to tell having contests to tell lies. And he launched into a sermon about lying. In the beginning, he said, "You boys know that it's a sin to lie." And in the end, he said, "Well, why, when I was your age, I never told a lie." And there was a dead silence there. In about a minute, one of the little boys came over and said, "Okay, the dog is yours." You see, today's world is built upon the lie, all of it. The entire satanic system is built upon the lie told to Mother Eve. Many lies are the outcome of some sort of lust. Governments lie in order to obtain a treaty to get them some advantage over another country. Media lies in order to ramp up ratings. Religious leaders lie to keep their congregation and to maximize their attendance. Look at the government, the turmoil in Washington. Politicians are all too quick to tell less than the truth in order to bring down their opponents, and that is so prevalent right now. The fight between President Trump and the Congress is a prime example. Millions of dollars spent to prove that Mr. Trump colluded with the Russians during the 2016 election, and the whole case was built upon a lie and deceit presented by a false dossier. So that lie cost a lot of money. Politicians will lie about their heritage. They will lie about their stance on hot topics until the time in which they are elected, and all of a sudden that stance turns. And they'll make campaign promises and conveniently forget about them. What about the educational system? Think about this. The whole educational system, our whole educational system, is built upon the premise of evolution. The theory of evolution is drilled into our children from grade school through college and university. If you dare mention the word creator or intelligent design, you are immediately shunned and ridiculed. You dare not believe in any other theory of the origin of life, and if you attempt to investigate one, you are labeled a religious fanatic. Look at what the lie of evolution has wrought. It teaches that man is just another species of animal. It teaches that man's intelligence is merely a product of blind chance. Evolution has paved the way to genocide, eugenics, abortion, because evolution does not teach about the spirit in man, nor does it dignify human life. In our religious system, some of the worst lies come out of our religious leaders. The lies of Christmas and Easter pervade the world. Even though many of these leaders know fully well that these celebrations are pagan, they continue in the lie. They must preach what the people want in order to maintain their income. This world's Christianity is built upon the lie and deceit of a false Christ, a Christ who never existed, a Christ who is either pictured as a long-haired, effeminate, emasculated man hanging on a cross with a sad, sick look on his face, or a helpless baby in a manger. That's the way the world pictures their Christ. But let's look at the true Christ in Revelation 1:12. Revelation 1:12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if it burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Who has ever tried to look into the sun without some sort of help? It's not good for your eyes. This is the true Christ. It's not the guy on the cross that looks sick. And it's not the little baby Jesus. This is how our religion has lied to us. Man's religions. And we can't forget the media, the good old media. If we're going to talk about lies, we can't forget that the media is built upon lies now. What an age we live in. What an age. The lies coming from what used to be trusted news sources are innumerable. Instead of news, the media seeks sensationalism. And they're not afraid to tell a little fib in order to make the viewership and ratings go up. In my humble opinion, the media's biggest fault is editing the truth, leaving out just enough to make some person seem to say something they didn't say. And biggest example of that I can tell you, and you're probably familiar with this, is that there was an edited news clip of President Trump stating that they are animals. And this was during a news conference about illegal aliens. So the media spread this edited version to the internet, and President Trump became a racist. But if you saw the whole video, and I saw the whole video, and he was specifically speaking about the members of the MS-13 gang, who are animals, who kill and maim, and yet the edited video is the one used to claim that Mr. Trump is a racist. This is our media at work. This is the lie that they spread, one of the lies. Now, I remember the days when journalists and news anchors were respected. I remember Walter Cronkite and Huntley and Brinkley. And they told the news. They didn't try to spin it. They didn't make a political statement. They weren't left or right. This is the way it is. And that's the way it was. Is that what Walter Cronkite said? That's the way it was. After he finished his newscast. They left the opinion to the viewer. They didn't give the viewer their opinion. So let's turn our view to examples of lies in the Bible and what happened. Now, I know y'all also remember Truth or Consequences, if you remember the other programs. And I'm going to like to borrow that name. I'm going to call it Lie and Results. Lies and Results. There's a story about an elderly businessman who wished to retire. He wanted to choose his successor, and he called three men before him, three of his best men, Fred, Pete, and Jim. "Men, one of you will become my successor and will run the company," he said. "I must make a decision, so we will have a little contest." The old man pulled out three pots, placed them on his desk. And he pulled out three packs of seeds and put them by each pot. He said, "Fred, Pete, Jim, I want you to take these pots and these seeds, and I want you to nourish and care and grow flowers, the best you can grow, the largest and the most beautiful flowers you can possibly grow. Now, each man picked up a pot and walked out, and Jim was particularly upbeat because he had some experience raising flowers. He went to the store and he purchased the best soil he could find, and he filled the pots and planted a few seeds in the soil. He carefully moistened the soil, and after a few days, nothing happened. He put more water in the soil, waited a few more days, nothing happened. He considered perhaps the soil needed a little more nutrition, so he got liquid fertilizer and put it on the soil, and still nothing worked. He became a little discouraged, but he kept on experimenting, but still no seedlings. And the day came when the old man called the men into his office, and he asked them, "Present your plants to me, please." And with a face gleaming with pride, Fred placed his big, huge plant of red roses, just gorgeous red roses in front of the old man. And the old man said, "That's quite impressive, Fred. Thank you." And then Pete placed his pot on the desk, and the pot was full of luscious pink and white roses, just full of roses. And Pete turned around and kind of smugly smiled at Fred and Jim. Now, while Fred and Pete were presenting their accomplishments, the old man observed Jim. Jim was in the back of the other two, and he was looking kind of down at the ground. He was kind of dejected. The old man called out to him, "Jim, bring your pot up here. Let's have a look." And Jim slowly approached the old man's desk, and he placed the pot with nothing but soil in it in front of the old man. He said, "I'm sorry, sir, but I could not get the seeds to produce." And the old man looked at Jim and smiled, and he turned to Fred and Pete and said, "I want to introduce you to the new CEO." And the three men's mouths fell open, and the old man began to explain. "I gave you three pots with some seeds. However, the seeds I gave you were dead and would not produce anything." Jim was honest enough to admit he had failed, while the other two of you deceived me, or tried to deceive me. So there was a lie and a result right there. Let's take a look at some biblical examples of lying and their results. Let's look at the penalty of false witness in ancient Israel, Deuteronomy 19:16. "If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness is a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother. So shall you put the evil away from among you." So if you accused a man of murdering somebody else and he would be put to death because of that, well, guess what? You've got a date with the hangman. Let's look at another example. Genesis 27:6. This is the example of Jacob and Esau. Genesis 27:6. And we're familiar with the story of how Rebekah and Jacob deceived Isaac. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I have heard your father speak unto Esau your brother, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless you before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command you. Go into the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, and he as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless you before his death. And Rebekah was pretty good at this stuff, so she found Esau's, an old raiment of Esau's, and she put some goat skins on his neck and hands. I mean, she went full force on this. So let's go down to verse 18. And he, Jacob, came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Lie number one. I have done according as you have bade me. Arise, I pray, sit and eat of my venison, that your soul may bless me. And Isaac said to his son, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord your God brought it to me. Lie number two. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray, that I may feel you, my son, whether you be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So lie number three, deception. And so he blessed him. And he said, Are you my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Lie number four. And he said, Bring it near me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless you. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come now near me now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled of his raiment and blessed him. And he said, See, the smell of my son is as a field, the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. So that's lie number five, another deception. Now, I want you to look at that. That's five lies. And what's the fifth commandment? Dishonoring your father and your mother. So by telling five lies, he broke the fifth commandment as well. Now let's continue in verse 41. This is the result of the lie. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Jacob, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Brother, behold, your brother Esau, as touching you, does comfort himself, purposing to kill you. So Jacob became a fugitive from his own family, and the hatred between Edom and Israel continued out through history because of five lies that were told. The last example we'll look at is the example of Ananias and Sapphira. And that's in Acts 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias and his Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, a deceit, his wife also being privy to it, and brought it a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Lie to the Holy Spirit. And keep back part of the price of the land. While it remains, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear of all them that heard these things, fell on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours, you know, 3 times 3, 9, after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came, and Peter answered unto her, and tell me whether you sold this land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. She also tried to deceive. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. Lie and result. Now let's look at the importance of one's word. Turn to Proverbs 6:16, please. Proverbs 6:16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. I've always wondered that it says here that God hates six things, but seven are an abomination. But if you look at that, two of those things are lies. It's two different types of lies. God hates lies in general conversation. And you've been around people that kind of embellish the truth. I know I have been. They kind of amplify things, shall we say. But the other is a false witness in a court situation, in a judgment situation. So both of them are lies. Two different types of lies. Telling the truth is part of God's nature. It needs to be part of ours as well. Turn to Titus 1, verse 1, please. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised unto the world before the world began. So God cannot lie. That's also made clear in Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement, who have fled to refuge to take hold of the hope that is set before us. It is literally impossible for God to lie, because everything that comes out of God's mouth is truth. And there's a very simple definition, and we read it every Passover, and that's in John 17:17. The very definition of truth. Sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. There's the definition of truth, God's word. You know, when I was going over this message, I noticed, if you look at that sentence, it's nine words. It's nine words in the Greek, it's nine words in English. Truth, integrity, honesty, these are God's attributes. It's usually very easy to lie, but telling the truth can be hard and difficult, especially when it's going to hurt you in some way. But a righteous man will always tell the truth, even though it hurts. Turn to Psalm 15, verse 1. Who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, whose eyes a vile person is contemned, and he that honoreth them that fear the Lord, and he honors them that fear the Lord, and he swears to his own hurt and changes not. So by implication, he lies, he tells the truth to his own hurt, even though a lie would be a lot easier to tell. So God loves someone who will keep his word, even when it hurts. And James expanded this understanding and the understanding what a true follower of God. A true follower of God does not need to swear, because his word can be trusted. James 5:12. Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. Let your yea be yea and your nay be yea, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. This is why we never swear to tell the truth if we're called upon to be a witness in a trial. A Christian does not need to swear, because the truth is part of him. And finally, let's take a look at a world where no one lies. Again, if you grew up in the 60s, I know you remember the Twilight Zone. And the host of this half-hour television program was Rod Serling, who was a well-known science fiction writer. And the show was about strange situations, people in strange situations and with unexpected outcomes. But in many of the shows, he would start the show, imagine if you will, and then he would go on with the scenario. So, imagine if you will, a world where lying is impossible, where everyone has to tell the truth. We would have a completely different justice system. There'd be no need to swear on the Bible to tell the truth. There would be no need to convince a jury of guilt or innocence. Lawyers would only be necessary to try to convince the judge to be lenient with sentencing. No need for written contracts. A man's word is his bond. When two folks are making an agreement, their word is good enough to seal the contract. And you could actually, at that time, believe the news. You think about it, reporters who would have to tell the truth. And if they were asked if they adjusted the truth, they would have to say, yes, I did. And you could finally believe government officials, because they would have to keep their promises then. Religions could no longer support pagan holidays as Christian. No little Jimmy, there is no Santa Claus. That the religious leaders couldn't lie about their misbehavior anymore. So in conclusion, the lie was born of Satan. Satan's world started out and was built upon a lie. In Satan's world, lying seems to be acceptable if it meets one's goal. But lying comes with consequences. We must strive to live by the Word of God, which by its very definition is truth. We should always try to honor our word, even when it's difficult to do so. The ninth commandment is a powerful vehicle. It is the one commandment that demands of us all to tell the truth.